I'm going to pick up in the middle of its conversation here, but four lines in from the middle lines on Kuf Yod Amud Aleph. The last, there is only Kuf Yod Amud Aleph. There's no Amud Beis. That's the end of the Masechta. We'll probably skip back and forth, but we actually did part of this Gemara last year. I'm not focusing on that part, but okay. Here it comes up. Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Yonasan. Right, so the pasuk had been going, the Gemara had been going back and forth about understanding a pasuk of Delah b'chol makom mukdar mugash l'shmi. So Rosh Hashanah Rechmei said, "Elu tamidei chachamim ha'oskim mitar b'chol makom, tamidei chachamim in all places, ma'ale ani alehen kilu makdir magishin l'shmi." These are people who like bring karbanot to me, and if you, who brings the mincha? That's someone who learns Torah in purity, gets married, and then learns Torah. Okay, so we are in the middle of it. We end up in the middle of a discussion of cases in which Torah, in some way, is in some way like the karbanah. That's the entree into this sugya. So Shir HaMa'alot, Hine Baruchu Ad Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem HaOmdim Beveit Hashem Balelot. My Balelot. Right, so a song of ascents, those who bless God, all the servants of God who are in God's house at night. What does that mean? By Belod, Amar Yochanan, Elu Tamidei Chachamim Ha'oskim B'Torah B'Laila, Ma'ale Aleihen HaKatuv Kilu Asukim B'Avoda. Anyone who learns Torah at night, it's as if he performed the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. We did that last year, because last year we talked about the value of night.
Right.
Of learning Torah at night, that's my article in tradition, but we're not doing that now. But I want you to see, this is part of a discussion of all different ways in which Torah is like Avodah. Lo olam zod al Yisrael, Amar of Gidol Marav, ze mizbeach banui. The next line is, I was thinking about doing this week, but I needed, with Daniel already, I needed a little bit of time to deal with weirdness. It says, there's a mizbeach, u'michael sar hagadol, omein u'makriv alav, and Michael, the malach, is the Kohen Gadol, and he brings the karbanon on it, sure. Karban, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, elu tamidei chama oskim behilchot avoda. That's Rav Gidol's interpretation. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this pasuk refers to Lo Olam Zot B'Yisrael, right, which is, I'll read you the whole pasuk, in Divrei Hayamim, which is, Hine Ani Voneh Bayit L'Shem Adonai Elohai Lakdish Lo Lakdir Lefanav K'toret Samim Marechet Tamid Lo'olot Labokar Lever Shabbatav L'Chadashim Mo'adei Adonai Elohinu Lo Olam Zot Al Yisrael. So what's the problem? So the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim quotes Shlomo, who says he builds the Beit HaMikdash forever. To bring Karbanot forever. What's the problem that the Gemara is picking up on?
It was destroyed.
So the Gemara has two answers. One is, it's Michael bringing Karbanot in heaven. Yes! That one. Great. Answer two is no. It is Talmidei Chachamim, who learn Torah. It is like they bring Karbanot. Sorry, Kilu Nivneh Beit HaMikdash Beit HaMehem. It's if the Beit HaMikdash was built in their days. So the Beit HaMikdash is forever.
What did Shlomo do, like, from his family? Because, I mean, weren't they not learning Torah beforehand? Were they,
No. It's saying that this is if the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, but you learn Torah, it's as if the Beit HaMikdash is built. Amar Eish Lakish.
Can I be technical here for a second? If it's as if they're building the Beis HaMikdash, then...
No. If it was built.
Then wouldn't that be a different Beis HaMikdash than the original?
Ki'ilu. Oh, you always have to figure out Ki'ilu. What does Ki'ilu mean? That's going to be the million-dollar question. Good. Amar Eish Lakish. And then Eish Lakish's statement. Mai dichtiv zora Torah la'olam mincha la'chatat la'asham? What does it mean? This is the Torah. For an olam mincha la'chatat la'asham? Thank you. In Israel, we barely ever sing that,
really?
If ever. We can only sing it once a year or twice a year.
No, it's like on...
You never do it when you have Yizkor. We don't have 2 days of Yatif, so good luck.
And you don't do it in
Shabbos. And in general, in Israel, they just don't do it. They just don't do it at all.
Sing the thing before Musa.
Anyways, thank you for the rendition. Good. Anyone who learns Torah... It's as if he brought a burnt offering, a meal offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering.
Great.
Amar Rava, hi le'ola, le'mincha, ola u'mincha mibayle. Why does it say le'ola, le'mincha, two lamids? Ela Amar Rava, kol osik b'tarei, eno tzarech lo'ola, ve'lo mincha, ve'lo asham. Someone who learns Torah doesn't need these karbanot. Amar Rav Yitzchak, my dichtiv, v'zo Torah ha'chatat, v'zo Torah ha'asham, kol ha'osik b'tarei, Anyone who learns The Torah of Hashem is if he brought an Hashem, and brings the Torah of Eichata is if he brings the Chatas. Okay, good. So there's all these statements of Avoda, of learning Torah, something to do with Beis HaMikdash, something to do with the Karbanos.
I get halacha something.
What does that mean? Calls like about Torah Chata, Kilu Hikriv
Chata. If he learns about the Chatas,
learns about the Chata.
Yes, all of you who are learning Mincha, you have brought a Mincha today.
Yay.
Mazel Tov.
Like what?
Right?
Torah Chata. Okay.
Stop there. The pasuk continues. Lami Luim Lezavachash Lamin.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it add those in?
The Gemara just doesn't call a whole pasuk objective.
Good, but it's a good question. Who knows?
Wait, is that where we get the thing of the Karban Tamid that we should say Karbanos every day?
Yes, very good. Thank you. Hmm. That is on the sheet. That is, there is halachic consequences to this Agarata.
Cool. Yay.
Good. Okay, what questions do you have in this Agarata?
Why only those things?
Obviously, yeah,
there's more things in that pasuk.
Okay, good. Why just these? Great. What else?
Why are we praying for the church? Like, what's the difference between now and both? And I'll say we will be
maybe. Okay, let's try that differently. I'll put it differently. How seriously do we take this ki'ilu, kik, hikriv,
right?
Yosef is just jumping to the assumption that ki means equal to, and therefore what do we want a Beit HaMikdash for? We're already learning it. Who cares about the actual Beit HaMikdash? But of course, ki'ilu and kaf can always mean like kaf ha-dimyon or kaf ha-shivyon, which is equivalent to or similar to.
Similar.
Right?
But not like.
So we have to ask, how seriously do you take this? But how literally do we take this, and what does it mean?
Yeah. And, yeah. What's the difference between instead of all these korbanos, or like you don't need these korbanos?
Correct. Also, what's the difference in all these different drashot, which seem to be variations on the theme? Also, here's another question for you: is this because of some intrinsic connection between Torah and korbanot, or is this a rule about? Is the same thing true of kol alomei hilchot sukkah kiilu bana sukkah or darba sukkah? Or is this a carbon thing, or is this like a halacha thing?
So if you learn halacha of avodah zarah, it's like
no, it's like you avoided avodah zarah.
Yeah, right.
Right, like you were avoided avodah zarah. Right, well, which is it? Right, conceptually, right? What is the statement here?
Yeah.
And if you look at it in the broad picture, there are some very different statements going on here. Like, if you learn Torah at night, so it's like you brought avodah. Now that sounds like it doesn't matter the content of what you learn. It's about learning at night, and that's like a karban. Later on, it's learning about the karbana, presumably ever,
right,
is like bringing a karban. What is the difference?
Right, learning, right? Yeah, why is the content matter?
Right,
content
right. Sometimes, does content matter, does content not matter? Mm. And what's the difference between avoda and the Beit HaMikdash is built in your day, which seems not to be a specific avoda? Like, there is a lot of weird things going on in this Gemara. What is... What does Gemara want from us?
I love that we got a lot of weird things going on, and we haven't even mentioned the whole, oh yeah, Gabriel's chilling.
Oh, I said I ignored that part, because that part alone, I'm like, I started looking through the Makar, and then I'm like, I need another week to process this. Right. Like, what is going on in Shemayim? What?
Are we going to do that next week?
Maybe, or if we finish this, it'll do that next week.
Wouldn't that mean, I guess, if Gabriel's doing all that,
we're not doing Gabriel now, I don't know. I know nothing about Gabriel. Okay. Look, Tosfos even has a whole deal on it. Okay. Let me tell you why that Agarata is even weirder.
Okay?
Because as he notes, there's a machlokas in the Midrash.
Okay.
What is Gabriel bringing on the Beit HaMikdash?
Okay.
The tefillot of the Jews or the souls of the Jews?
Okay.
Good luck understanding what that means. Okay?
Okay, fine.
But remember that the medieval Ashkenazi Rishonim loved that pshat, and that was literally one of the midrashim they would invoke as they would murder their children. Al Kiddush Hashem is, oh look, we are the karbana that Gabriel is bringing to God. So that midrash is so creepy and has such a bad history.
Wow.
I need another week before I'm ready to talk about it. Okay, I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
No, no, not talking about that today. I made a conscious decision to not talk about today. I'm not doing it. Okay, good. So, what is the difference between all these? So let's first look at Rashi. Let's look at Rashi. Let's start from La'olam Zot Al Yisrael, the last wide line. La'olam Zot Al Yisrael, Mikrahu B'divrei Ayamim B'Shlamim. The pasuk is talking about Shlamim, Uvikarbanot Mishtoi, Dil'olam Him Omdim. It says that the Karbanot are always around, which is weird because Gemara says it's about the Beis HaMikdash, not about the Karbanot, so I don't know what Rashi wants there. The Heich, so he just assumes these are all about Karbanot, and even the one that sounds like it's not, it is. And he says, but these are connected, right? Where is the Mizbeach? In Shamayim. Umichal omeinu makdir alav. And Michael is bringing the carbon on it. My dichtiv zod ha-Torah, veloktiv bechuka. So Rashi says, the drasha, there are multiple positions in the Gemara. Possibility one is, where do you get this drasha? From the fact that it says, zod Torah ha-Ola, rather than zod chukat ha-Ola. And the drasha therefore is, this is the Torah of. So Rashi says, what does it mean? In place of the Ola. Limincha bishvil hamincha. Kigon lachem bishvilchem. Klomar atalma Torah mechaper alav anotenu. So Rashi says, first of all, what does this Gemara mean? Does it mean that Torah is a karban?
No, but it has the function.
No, good. So Rashi is the first one who weighs in the first agadic question, which is, what does it mean, kit? So there's two possibilities. It is, or it's like. Rashi says it's like. In what sense is it like a karban? It achieves kapara, just like the karbana. Karbana bring kapara, Torah brings kapara. That's what it's teaching you.
How
does, yeah. Because it does. Because Torah, God likes Torah. I don't know. It does. That's why they need a pasuk, okay? We'll see. But that's the first thing that Rashi claims. Now, what's interesting about Rashi? Right, Rashi... Again, is that what it means throughout this statement? I don't know. We know this is what it means in the first round. Now, if this was the case, by the way, should you need it to be Torah about the Karbana? Not necessarily. It's just like the function of Torah. Like, Torah is Mechaper like the Karbana. But the later statement is clearly that if you learn it, so Rashi says, Kagon Seder Kachim, the Meir Bihal Kodavoda. So it could be that Rashi thinks there's a machlokes, that the earlier deot think it's about Torah, that Torah is machaper, and the later one says, no, it's Torah about the karbanot, is in some sense karbon-like.
See, that one makes sense. The first one doesn't.
I don't know.
Right? Because if really? You're learning anything, then what does that have to do with karbanot?
No, it's kapara. There's machaper. It brings atonement, just like the karbanot. I don't know. I don't know, that's crazy. Yeah. See, for Rafi, he's like, that makes more sense to me. I don't know what it means as a karban. Oh, it brings kapara and shamayim like karbana? Really, that's great. Sense, but... As opposed to the second one, which is, if I learn about karbana, it is a karban. Why? Mapitam.
Why should it bring kapara and shamayim?
Why not? I don't know.
I said, why should not be...
So, but why shouldn't it? Why should it? Why shouldn't it? I don't know. It's a mitzvah. It's an important mitzvah.
Why shouldn't it be a karban?
Well, maybe the same question.
Yeah. Every time you learn about killing Amalekites,
good.
Great. I don't know. Okay. Do you want to read the Marsha, or should I first... I gave you an English summary.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want, we can go back to the Marsha. There's a part that's unclear to you. Okay, but dafyomi.koa.il has this nice little summary. What exactly is the difference between the way Reish Lakish understands the verse and the way Rava understands it? So Rashi explains Rava's opinion. He says that Rava learns that the letter Lamed at the beginning of each word teaches that learning Torah is done instead of bringing a karban, and not that it's considered as though one brought the karban. The Torah has the ability to atone for one's sins without being a form of karban. Right? It seems that Rashi understands that Reish Lakish is saying that learning Torah atones for one's sins because one who learns Torah is considered as though he's brought a karban. Right? So this may be, right? That's what we just said. It seems to be that Rashi thinks, what's the machlokas in the Agadata? Deya one is, Torah generically brings kapara. That's Rava's drasha. Zo Torah ta'ola. Torah is like karbanot. But la mincha, la chatat, la asham is Torah is in place of this karban. How could it be in place of this karban? Because you're learning about this karban, and therefore...
So they're connected, both the statements.
It's a machloket. Meaning Rashi thinks that the machloket in drashot is the machloket.
Yes.
Zo Torah ha'ola, learning it from the word Torah, is saying that Torah brings kapara like the karbana. Any Torah. The second one, which says the drasha from the Lamed, this Torah is la chatat, this Torah is la hasham, this Torah is la mincha, is that if you learn kachim, if you learn karbanot, then it's if you brought a karban. Right? So Rashi thinks that really this question of the ki, right, how much is like karban, is the machloket between Rava and Reish Lakish. Rava thinks that Torah, generic Torah, presumably, is like karbanot in the sense that it brings atonement. That's it. The second daya is mechadesh that no. By learning the Torah, the karban out, it's as if you brought the karban.
And then what? Like, you brought the karban, so what does that have
to do? So, you know, I tend to think that this is very like, if you read Halachic Man, this is like, you understand what this means, right? Zev is like, you've read Halachic Man, right? The Rav is like, look, the Lamdan doesn't care about what happens, right? The only thing that matters is, we learn Torah because we create contracts in Shemaim, and if it manifests itself in this world, that's very nice too. But I care about the, right, the Platonic forms of lamdus in Shemayim, and if they happen to manifest to halachot in the real world, very nice. But if they don't, there's a chair in heaven, and there's a chair that exists in the world, very nice. How much does the chair in heaven mimic it? So this is very, I would read the second Deya as very Platonic, which is, if I learn about the lamdas of the chatas, then I have created a structure of chatas in Shemayim. I have understood the Platonic model, the in the world of the noumena of the chatas, right? And okay, so it doesn't manifest itself in reality. Who cares? We all know that the real chair is the one that exists in the world of the noumena, not the world chair that exists in the real world. Right? We all know that. We've all read The Republic. We all know that the lesson of the seventh chapter of The Republic is that the only thing that's real are the things that are not real. Right?
That's a slant.
Fine. The only thing that's real are the things that are in the theoretical perfected version, not the actual ones, which just mimic.
Right.
Yeah. So I would tend to think that that's really what Rashi is saying. Right? Something along those lines. That pshat one is Torah is machaper. It's not a karban. A karban is a karban. Torah is a mitzvah, and maybe it's machaper. Deya two is no. If I learn about the karban, so even if I don't bring it, I did bring it. Why did I bring it? Because why do I bring carbon at all? To manifest the halachic categories that exist in the mind of God. I don't know. Right? Something like that. Right? Something very... I don't know. I read this in a very Greek... I read this line very Greek. Maybe it's just... I don't know. You hear the Tanya, yeah. I think that's what he's saying. I can't prove to you that that's what he's saying, but I tend to think that that's what he's saying, and that's the machloket. Good, that's Rashi, the Marsha. I've given you the original if you want to look at the original, but let's look at the summary first. Explains that Rava is saying that learning Torah has a stronger effect than Karbanos. Not only does learning Torah act like a Karban and attain atonement for those who have sinned, it helps the person protect the person from sinning in the future, as the Gemara and Sota says. According to Marsha, it's unlikely that Reish Lakish would disagree with the Rava's statement. However, it's possible that Reish Lakish maintains that this element of learning Torah cannot be inferred from this verse. The Marsha has this interesting chiddush, which is that in what sense is this like Karbanot? Not in the sense that it just brings Kapar or that it's like a Karban, but in the sense that it's a Karban plus. It brings atonement, but think about it. If I bring a chatas, how well does that prevent me from sinning in the future? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. What if I learn? So learning, always, you would hope,
changes you,
right? Because I'm thinking about the issues. I'm not just doing an act. So that's what he thinks is, and also the schar of Talmud Torah and the like. But here you actually have three models. I mean, what do you have? You have learning Torah does the same thing as a karban. Possibility two is it does something similar to a carbon, but it's actually better than the carbon itself. And possibility three is no, it is in some sense bringing a carbon, but only if you learn about the carbon. It's some sort of noumenal manifestation of whatever, right? Platonic idea of chatasness. Okay, the Yad David explains that Reish Lakish and Rava disagree about whether a person who learns Torah when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it's considered to have brought a karban. This is how he understands it. He says, according to Reish Lakish, learning Torah achieves an atonement similar to that achieved by bringing a karban only during a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash and one cannot bring a real karban. Why would you think that? Because, right? Where does he get that from the drasha? Right? He's basing this on... Right, something along the Olam Zot B'Yisrael, that there's some continuation of that, right? That we need the Beis HaMikdash always to exist. So if it exists, you actually bring a carbon. But if not, so this is some holdover from that. That Olam Zot B'Yisrael, we have something. But when it's actually there, it's only Ki'ilu, right? Meaning it can be like the carbon, the best approximation. If you don't have a carbon, if you have a carbon, go to the Beis HaMikdash and deal with it. But according to Rava, Even the Beis Hamikdash standing, learning Torah atones exactly as if one had brought a karban. Right? Li'olah, this is enough. Right? That's...
So you're not chayav to bring karbanos anymore?
No, he didn't say that.
Like, you're going to say a chiyuv?
No, we never said that. We just said that you would get the kapara. You wouldn't get... fulfill your chiyuv.
Right, you might have a chiyuv to bring karban, but the kapara in the chanami you would get. Maybe a separate chiyuv.
Okay.
A similar approach is given to explain the comments of Rashi and the Chumash. In the beginning of Parshas Tzav, Rashi asks why Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to command Aaron and his sons about the Korban Olah. Rashi quotes Rabbi Shimon, who says that Hashem told Moshe to command Aaron because of the need to encourage the Kohanim about something which entails a monetary loss. However, it's not clear exactly what monetary loss the Kohanim is involved with bringing a Korban Olah. Although the Kohanim did not receive any meat from the Korban Olah, the Kohanim still receive the benefit of each Olah, the hide. The Gan Raveh quotes the Binyan Ariel, I don't know who any of these people are, who says that Hashem was telling Moshe, Tzav is Aaron v'ezbanav lemor zos Torah se'olah. Teach the Jews that they can learn the Torah, command Aaron and his sons to say this is the law of the Olah. These words, to say that this is the law of the Olah, mean that the Kohanim should make sure that they teach the people that whenever they learn the laws of the Karban, it is that if they have offered an Olah, even though they're telling this to people, will surely decrease the number of karbanos brought to the Beis HaMikdash. This is the monetary loss the Kohanim will suffer as a result of Zos Torah Se'olah, which gets to your question. Is this true in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, maybe not for Achatos where there's a Chiyuv, but for the voluntary karbanos, yeah, might even be true in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Binyan Ariel, like the Yad David, clearly understands that this merit of learning Torah applies even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he has another one. Fourth explanation they bring is the Zevach Toda understands Rava in the opposite manner. He explains that Rava agrees that when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, one must bring their karbanos in the manner described by the Torah. One cannot gain the same degree of atonement through learning Torah. However, this is not because learning Torah is the lower form of mitzvah. On the contrary, learning Torah corrects the imperfections one sells more than the ring of the karban. And this is why one who learns Torah does not need to bring karbanos when there's no Beis HaMikdash. We could spend hours trying to figure out all these drasha. But methodologically speaking, what's going on here, right? This is... They're doing two things. One is they're trying to understand the drasha and the clear machloket. The other thing, what are they doing? Is trying to understand the ki'ilus here. Right? The ki'ilus. Right? And you get the models, which is, this is, achieves the same as the karbanot, even generic Torah. It's some manifestation of bringing the karban itself, only the Torah about it. This is a possible replacement if you can't do the original, or no, even when you have the original, when we say it's like it, we mean it's mamish like it. That's what it is. Right, again, whether you think Rava holds one or Reish Lakish holds one, everyone argues. And again, I don't know if you want to spend the hours fleshing out who says what and what the lamed is and what, maybe you do. That's why I gave you all these makarot. You can look in whatever strikes your fancy. You can do it. But this is like classic agadic, right? Methodology here. Now, I'll point out that I think this is connected to a very strange statement a few lines earlier in the Gemara. That Talmidei Chachamim b'chol makom, it's as if they're maktirin lishmi. So the Chacham Sofer on that says this very wild thing, which I gave you in 5, which is that even though the Gemara in Ksubos tells you that if you perform mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz, you are not mekayim your mitzvah, right? There's no real mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. If you learn Torah, so it's as if you were in Chutz La'aretz and Memela, you actually get kiyum mitzvos, right? Because the Chasam Silver thinks that basically, what is this whole amud about? Things that you can do to mimic halachic realities, right, that will replace what you lost by lacking halachic reality, right? This is...
You're in Chutz La'aretz?
What?
Did you say...
Even if you're in Chutz La'aretz.
Even.
Right? Did I say if you're in? Even. Right? And that's what he says. Right? Even if you hold that the Chutz La'aretz ain't a mekayim shum mitzvah kedabai, even if you think that you aren't a mekayim any mitzvah properly in Chutz La'aretz, the call a dar b'chutz la'aretz k'misha in lo eloka, right? Because anyone who lives in chutz la'aretz has no God, Zivi has no God. That's for Gemara, not me.
Yay.
Afilu Kriyat Shema Shekori B'Chutzlaretz Enu Kegori Keretz Yisrael. And even Kriyat Shema that you do in Chutzlaretz is not like that which you say in Eretz Yisrael. Ki Garshu Mishtabech V'Nachlad Hashem. Because you're now kicked out of God's home. Avol B'Gdol Yisrael Tamidei Chacham Oskim B'Torah Aleim Nemer Chomaka Mukdar Mugash L'Shmim In Chateo Rav Ve'eyeh Lehem Sham Mikdash Beit Rabbeinu Shebavel. But as long as you're learning Torah and you're a Talmud Chacham, then your house turns into Beis HaMikdash. Memela, you're in Eretz Yisrael, and memela, your mitzvot count. Great! What?
It sounds like Pashup Shot.
Definitely Pashup Shot.
Pashup Shot, that's like...
Okay. Is this some... Now, based on this Pshatim, what would you think? Does this apply to other mitzvot or just to Karbana?
Unsure.
Well, let's be clear.
Not 100% clear, but it seems like... Overwhelmingly, people seem to think it applies to Karbanos.
Well, let's see. According to the first position, learning any other Torah will be like bringing a Karban, but it's all about atonement, but it won't be about doing that mitzvah. The second day says, learning Torah is like bringing a Karban. That could go two ways. You could say that learning Torah is like bringing a Karban because Karbanos are in some sense connected to Torah, and then we have to explain why. Or you say
that it's just...
This is that idea of, if I am involved in Lamdus... Right? Then in some sense I've manifested the theoretical realities, and then you could say, oh, that's true of all mitzvot. Right? Right? Methodologically speaking, right? Good. So if you look at the Hagdama de Beis Ephraim in 6, he has this amazing, amazing drasha. And he says as follows. It's a bit long, but it's this amazing agadic moment. And he says, Davar zeh nishalach hachamim besof perakama de kiddushin. At the end of the first parak kedushin, the Gemara asks the following question: Ukvar haya Rabbi Tarfon vazkenim misubin baaliyat beit nidze belud. Rabbi Tarfon and his kenim were in an attic in Lud. Nishala sheilazu bifneim, and they asked the famous question: Talmud gadol or maaseh gadol? What is better, learning or action? Ne'ener Rabbi Tarfon v'amar maaseh gadol. Rabbi Tarfon said, action is good, is better.
Yes.
Nene Rabbi Akiva Vamar Limud Gadol. Rabbi Akiva said, learning is better. Ne'enu Kulam, and everyone else said, Limud Gadol. Learning is better. Shalimud Mevi Lidei Maaseh, which is the least clear answer that has ever existed in the history of the world. Because what did they say? Linguistically, which is more important? Torah. Thematically, which is important? Action. They say, Limud Gadol, learning is more important. But why? Because it enables action, which means that
action is more important.
Action is more important. So what was the answer? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? No one has any idea what the answer is. Because, and that's the Rishonim divide, whether the answer was Torah or the answer was Maaseh, because no one has any idea what that answer was supposed to say. Maybe that's the point. Maybe it's meant to be horribly ambiguous, because Ray Clapper claims this, that it's meant to be ambiguous, because the answer was, you idiots. Right? What type of question is that? They're both important. Shut up. And just do what you're supposed to do. Right? Learn and do mitzvot.
Wait,
anyways,
Nimtu
Shnei Biyado.
So why was Rabbi Akiva grouped with Zakanim and then not grouped with Zakanim?
Because they were because he was taking a position apart from the group, presumably.
But didn't they both say?
Anyways, no, it's not clear what they said. It's clear what he said. Vihine Yesh Ladakdik the Gomer Mishnei Rabbi Akiva Bistam Limud Gadol Kehilchad Lolo Taima. Rabbi Akiva just says, learning is better without the qualifier of the Zakanim, which is, learning is better because it leads to action. He doesn't say that. He just says, learning is better. That's it. But that should be Kiva's statement. And then everybody else says, no, learning is important because it leads to action, which implies that Rabbi Akiva thinks learning is better because learning is better. Right? That you have 3 days out here. Action is better, learning is better because learning is better, and this weird conglomerate position that no one knows what it means. Right, maybe you would think, maybe Rabbi Akiva says the same as the Chachamim, then Rabbi Akiva should have said it, that I like Torah because it leads to action, except he didn't. And then what should everybody say? And this is Yosef's question. Why didn't they just say everyone paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Because... What's the answer? They didn't, right? That would have been the obvious thing, but they didn't. Clearly, there were three positions here, which was Maaseh, Limud Shemevi, Lidei Maaseh, which is a third position. V'nir lefi ened da'ati lefaresh bipshitut. I think the answer is obvious. Great.
Perfect.
Great. Dihine halimud yesh bo shnei chalakim. There are two parts to limud Torah. Svei dinim. Hachelik ha'echad hu l'lumod dvarim ha'tzvichim l'maaseh. One aspect of Talmud Torah is that you learn that which you need to practically perform mitzvot. Ki tzarech l'mod l'dara maaseh asher yasun. You need to learn to know what to do. Shemish lo l'mad minayin yadat. Nida, inyan ha'parashot shebetfilin mezuzah v'tzitit shalko peretem mitzvot v'dikdukeihen. Because you don't learn, how are you going to know what to do? Tefillin, tzitzis, etc. The second aspect of Limud Torah is not practical. Not practical. The Afal Pichein Torah Hivilamud Tzarech. And nevertheless, you have to learn it. Kedamrinam binadarim, Betchila Nina Torah Lamoshe. Like the Gemara says in Darim, the Torah was given to Moshe. Noach Batovat Ayim and Anel Yisrael. He was generous and gave it to the Jews. Umasik lefilpulu ba'alman. Then the Gemara says, for what? To learn. Vichein Amrinan. Rafri. And he said, that's why the Gemara often will say that they were just learning, they were just sharpening their minds. Because the second role is simply to perfect your intellect, get you to think straight. Just like all Agadata, which his point is to get you to feel, to excite you. It's not practical, it's important, right? It plays in your emotions and your thoughts, but it's not, right? I learned what to do. It's,
but in the end, doesn't that serve Christ the purpose?
Well, it changes.
If your mind is better, then that's going to help you.
Well, he's better. Assuming that it's not just to act better. It's not just to perform the local mitzvah better. This is, right, these things are, it makes you a better person. Right? It makes you a more Torah-dic person. It's not like about the local action you're doing. It's about changing you more generally. Obviously, you'd hope that also manifests in action, but that's not the direct goal. Vigam Ashkenaz Vayoman, he quotes a few proofs. Now he says, "V'nei chelak halimud hazeh lisav leiten b'halacha l'sasel v'falpel ba." The practical side of learning is learn halacha. Usharei inyanu chelak zeh mizdan al fanav maaseh yesh lomar she'af al pi mitzvah limud alav mikol makom maaseh adif. And he said, from this vantage point, if you're learning halacha, what's more important, halacha or action? Learning halacha or implementing it? Implementing it. Meaning, from the vantage point of the half of Torah that is practical, obviously, what's more important? Learning the practicalities or doing them? It's doing them.
Knowing the practicalities and willing to do them.
So he says, me'achar shekvar b'yado hilchot psukot ladat ma'aseh asher ya'aseh v'limudu azeh eimu g'di lavi ma'aseh. Wait. No, I'm sorry. He says the opposite. He says theoretical learning versus practical. Practical is more important. But when you're learning how to do the mitzvah, you're doing two things at once. You're learning and preparing for the mitzvah. It's this, right? It has both aspects. It's both preparing you for action, but also every type of Torah has that other aspect in it. What's it like? It's like a king who tells his son to build a palace. So he goes, he checks out the land. He checks out the borders. He measures. And right, he measured. He gets an architect, etc. The preparation, right? Drawing up the plans is part of building. It is, right? You ever built a house? That's part of it. The same is true of practical learning. Part of God saying, perform this mitzvah, is learn about it. Learning is part of the mitzvah, the way writing up architectural plans is part of building a house. V'nei binyana she'ela limud gadol maseh gadol. So now back to the question. Lo bichnu devarim kavanai al chelak limud zorach maseh dafka limud stam. When they asked the question, they didn't ask, is practical or theoretical learning more important than action? Alo bishem betzorach maseh ugadol mimaseh shemitzvada limud basmo yakar eichmod. The kevin she'ela bas tuman nirem izem zgabu kol chalkei. So Ritarban said action. And he thought that action wins both types of Talmud Torah, practical and theoretical. That was Ritarban. Because he thinks that all of Torah is just to get you to do the right thing. Rabbi Kiva says, no, Torah of all types is more important. Even theoretical learning, Torah is more important. And all the other Chachamim had a third position. It's either a third shot or they're interpreting both of them. Limud gadol shelimud mevidi lamaaseh. Klomar, binyan zeh anu omrin limud gadol shelimud al derech zeh shu mevili demaaseh. Practical learning is greater than doing because it has two aspects. It's both part of the mitzvah. It's the writing up the plans to build the house, but it's also theoretical Talmud Torah. So it is two kiyumim. Lefisha az yesh bechal limud zeh chilek shel maaseh gam ken shi kolul. Now skip to the next paragraph. Now he comes back to our Gemara. And he said, this is the key to understanding the Gemara. You got to ask the question, why the heck is learning like bringing a carbon? What's the answer? He says, look, there are a lot of laws of Karbana. A lot. If you've noticed that. Zvachid, Menachot, Becharot, Erochen, Tmura, Kretud, etc.
You know, and that entire Sefer in the Torah that's pretty much devoted.
Yeah, Vayikra, that's great. And if you don't learn all of Zachem Nachot, etc., how are you going to know how to bring Karbana? As you guys who have in Rav Ginsburg share know, you've only just started it. Good luck. I've been learning Kachim for, 12 years. I don't feel like I have any grasp on it, right? 13 years, I don't know. I started learning Kachim when I was 19, right? And, it's 13 years later. I'm not sure I have a great grasp on it.
As you said, I think, were you the one who said, the more you learn, the less you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
The Dunning-Kreger effect, but sure.
You realize how little you know.
But if you learn all of Zvachim Menachos, etc., with the intent that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, I will finally know what to do. I will know Shechita Kshera Bazaar and Mincha and all the stuff you're learning, Mechulei. It's part of the mitzvah of bringing karbanot. So therefore, nowadays, even if we don't have a kohen, we don't have karbanot, they said, learn these parshiot. And it's as if you brought it, because it's the beginning, it's the drawing up of the plans of the house, it's the architectural plans. And you're able to do it now. The fact that you can't actually build the house, it's not your fault. What are you supposed to do? And in general, we say that if you try to do a mitzvah and are stopped, God gives you the schar anyways. Now, according to this beautiful agadic discussion by the Beit Ephraim, is this a local carbon halacha? No. No, not at all, right? He says this is the nature of halachic learning, that all halachic learning is conceptually part of the process of every mitzvah. So now answer the question. If this is a rule in all halachot, then why does the Gemara only tell it to us by karbanot and not by every other mitzvah? Why doesn't it say, kol lomid hilchot sukkah ki'ilu yashav v'sukkah?
Because we can't do
karbanot. Right? It didn't need to tell you that you should learn Hilchot Sukkah because you're going to learn Hilchot Sukkah so that you can live in a Sukkah. The Gemara had to be Machadesh that even though you in your lifetime may not be able to bring Karbanot, if you learn it Lamaisa, because you're writing up the plans,
it's as if
you did it. So the rule is true everywhere. It just only had to tell it to you in the one you wouldn't have known. But the rule is true about everything. Then I gave you the summary in 7 of what he says after this, but I'll say it outside. He said that's why the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, has the following very well-known Gemara. And when you go to Shamayim, God asks you 6 questions. You know this? No, 6 questions.
Did you set aside a time for
of course,
the Sadav and other Mamuna, Kavati Tim La Torah, Pilpantah, etc. Right? Asakim Piri Verivya. Right? Were you honest in business? Did you set up tide for Torah? Did you try to have kids? Pilpalta Bechachma. Now, each of these, as many of the Achronim say, are parallel to one of the Siddurim in Shas. So he says, why is it Kavata Itim in Pilpalta Bechachma? Why are they about Kachim and Tarot? He says, well, exactly. Because, right, Pilpalta Bechachma is Kachim. Right, he says, why is Pilpalta Bechachma Kachim? Because when you go to Shemayim, God will say, I know you couldn't bring the Karbanot. But Pilpalta Bechachma, for all the other ones, will say, did you do the mitzvah? But the only thing that's left for Karbanot is Pilpalta Bechachma. Were you involved in the Chachma? And that's why when you go to Shemayim, God will say, all the other things, and Pilpalta Bechachma, which is separate from Kavat Itim LaTorah. That's what he says. Kavat Itim, it's everything else. But with Karbano, the only thing God can ask you is Pilpalta Bechachma. Did you learn? Because there is no, you're not bringing the Karbano.
What if you did bring Karbano?
And
you're in trouble.
And one more point that they bring here in the Daf Al Daf from the Tzon Kachim. Guys, what he says in the Tzon Kachim is he says, why then, this is another, he said, why does Zvachim start with Lishma? Right, if you look at the beginning of Zvachim Menachal, they both start with Halacha, the Karbanon have to be brought Lishma for the right reason. Why? Why don't you start with the practical stuff, the most practical stuff, like this is how you bring a karban, right? And by the way, you have to do it lishma. Why do you start with lishma before you know what you're doing lishma, right? You're shechting lishma. You're doing right.
Well, because you have to start.
This is a very musty report, but I put it in.
No, of course. What do you mean? You need to do it lishma. So yeah, that's
the
part of the action.
You have to learn lishma.
Very good. Is that he says because?
Oh,
yeah, because he says look, by all the other mitzvot, by all the other mitzvot, we teach you what to do because you're learning it to do.
Right.
But by karbanot,
it's for the knowledge.
You're learning it because this is the only way you're going to mekayim the mitzvah. But if you don't know that to be mekayim karbanot, you need to do it lishma, then you're not going to learn lishma. But remember, your Talmud Torah is fulfilling the role of karbanot. If you don't learn the way you would want to be mekayim the karban, then you're going to miss the point. So I got to front load it. And I gotta say, you're about to learn a Masechta, which is gonna be your only chance at getting any kiyum in the Maisa Mitzvah. This is a special rule in Karbanot that it needs a special Lishma. Right? Which is a very Musari part, but it's nice conceptually. And you know, I don't know, and I don't know if it's wrong and I got it though. Okay. So, what time is it?
2 minutes better than the same time.
8:52.
Okay, so again, I don't think I'm going to read through everything. I literally just anything that I thought was interesting, I put on it, and then you know we can do it. We'll spend one more week on it. So the next thing, what Zev asked me for, I think is worth knowing, is that this conceptual model isn't just theoretical. This is the basis for saying Karbanot at the beginning of davening. It's this sugya.
Right.
Right, this has practical implications that because the only way for us to be mekayim in any way, shape, or form karbanot is by learning about it, that's why the poskim, starting at the tour, we'll see already, said you should say karbanot at the beginning of davening. But the question of how you conceptualize it, so far we've talked agadically, but we'll see that the way you say karbanot in the morning and the importance of it and the hiratzons that you say, they're all reflections of how they conceptually understood this agadata. Right. Once you've set up these models, you'll understand how this plays itself out. So, look, again, we're going to read through all of it. No, I literally just copied for you the Taz, the Torah, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Brura, all right? We won't read through all of it, but here's the halakhic material. And then I gave you, like, three blot of the Daf al Hadaf. You know, I should just say, the Daf al Hadaf is this very interesting sefer, which is on Bar Ilan now, which is two Talmid Chachamim from Kol Torah, who basically, it's very sporadic. On some Dafim, they'll have like one Hara, and in some, they'll have like 50 pages. So on this point, they like went to town, and they just like collected 100 sources on this. And I didn't even give you everything. I just gave you the ones that were the most interesting to me, which, as you can see, is four basically single-spaced pages in no font, no margins. As you know, if you haven't noticed it, I get rid of all your margins. I always do that. So I'm not going to read through all of them, but I gave it all to you, and we'll run through a few words on it, but we'll do that next week, because I think this is an interesting topic. Do you want me to hold on to it? You hold on to it.
Yes.
You hold on to it, okay?